listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining me on Fox Sports Radio. Joy Taylor for the Joy Taylor Show, alongside Iowa Sam and Bo today in the Fox Sports Radio studios. In the middle of a crazy college football Saturday, as we always are, so we'll keep you updated with all of the scores. Obviously, we are all watching this Notre Dame-Wisconsin game, which has been very low scoring, actually. Notre Dame up 10-3 right now on Wisconsin. A huge NFL Sunday. Things are kind of starting to come into picture. We're starting to see the colors come through and what each of these NFL teams are going to look like. And we're also getting a ton of injuries. So that's changing the landscape of everyone's predictions and seasons as well. But thank you for joining me. We'll talk to Ryan Russillo of The Ringer at the bottom of the hour, Ashley Nicole Moss of Sports Illustrated later in the show as well, and Dr. Jen Welter, football coach, the first female coach in the NFL, in NFL history, with Bruce Arians when he was with the Cardinals. And she played football for a long time and has a lot of insight. So I'm going to ask her about some of these defenses and some of the work that some of these coaches are doing around the NFL. And we'll get into the USC job with Ryan a little bit as well. But so third quarter just kicked off for Notre Dame, Wisconsin. We'll keep you updated with that and the rest of the scores throughout the day. So it's week three. And Carolina's undefeated. Who'd have thunk it? Sam Darnold, which has been very interesting. But Iowa Sam, I want to run down some of my favorite storylines, and I want to give you my picks early. We will revisit this a little later in the show and get into it a little bit more in depth. But there's a lot of news, a lot of injury news, a lot of COVID news. Yeah, you can hit it. You can hit the NFL and the NFL music. Get hyped up for this NFL Sunday, week three tomorrow. All right, so I'm just going to give you a few of the headlines that I saw this morning that are going to be pretty impactful, especially if you are making any wagers this weekend. So Ertz is activated for the Cowboys game, so that's good news for the Eagles. TJ Watt is out for the Steelers. We will talk about that a little bit later. The Ravens just put four defensive players on the COVID list. That's important. And, of course, we already knew about McCaffrey. So, yeah, there's a lot of injuries and a lot of things changing around the league. I want to get into this very in-depth, and I talked about it last week. And there's still a lot of weird stuff going on with this. But Justin Fields. It is the Justin Fields era. It has begun. He is going to start against the Browns. I cannot wait to see how this goes. There's nothing I'm rooting for more than for Justin Fields to be absolutely amazing, because I cannot stand this bubble wrap thing that we do with these young quarterbacks, and we have to have the old guy lead him in, and he's got to get warmed up, and you don't want to start him against Aaron Donald and all this nonsense. So I there's nothing I'm rooting for more this weekend than for Justin Fields to be awesome, or at the very least really, really competent, so we can stop talking about how Andy Dalton is the starter in Chicago. Nothing against Andy Dalton, but look, we know what Andy Dalton is, so I can't wait to see that. Matthew Stafford and Tom Brady. Now, this game, I believe the line on this game is 1.5. I'm going to lean to the Rams just because it's, you know, I think home field still matters a little bit, but that's going to be an incredible game. I anticipate it being a high-scoring game, and I can't wait to watch that. Packers-Niners. This game is really, really important. There is a lot going on in this game. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is still being cranky, which we will talk about a little bit later. But really good matchup. There's a lot going on with the San Francisco running game. They have a ton of injuries. So that's going to be something to pay attention to. Make sure you stay updated with that if you're going to wager on that game. Cowboys-Eagles. Look, it's a rivalry game, so that's always exciting. It's also one of my picks, but we'll get to that a little bit later. So I'm looking forward to watching that. And yeah, there's a lot of other storylines going on this weekend, but those games I'm paying the most attention to and I'm really excited for. So let's get to my two picks. This is what I'm doing this weekend. Bengals Steelers. I'm going to take the Bengals to cover. They are Steelers are favored by 3. Ben Roethlisberger is banged up. TJ Watt is out. Steelers have not been able to run the ball at all. So I actually think that the Bengals are going to win, but I am also taking them to cover. And then Eagles, Cowboys. I don't have as much confidence in this as I do as the Bengals Steelers, but I'm going to take the Eagles to cover. I think the Eagles are playing really well. And the main thing with the Eagles is they have really good line play. So I'm going to take the Eagles to cover at the Cowboys, and I'm really excited for that as well. And there's a lot going on with Zeke. Zeke was talking a little bit this weekend. We could fade out into the NFL. This is how we produce the show, guys. Zeke's not been able to run the ball. I don't want to misquote these stats. Let me not even say it. He's been worse every single year of his career, essentially, with how many yards he's getting. And they asked him about it, and he, I don't know if we have this sound. I probably should have told Iowa Sam a little bit earlier. I apologize. Do we have the sounds somewhere? Yeah, okay. So they asked Zeke about it because obviously Tony Pollard is running the ball a lot better right now. And it's significant because Zeke is being paid a whole lot of money. Now, they aren't paying Tony Pollard any money. So when you look at these situations where your backup is doing better than the starter, it's only really bad if you're paying everyone a ton of money and they're not having any production. But because Tony Pollard is having production, it really doesn't matter. So we don't have it. But if you heard him, if you heard Zeke talking about it, he kind of laughed and was like, you know, all the critics about it are, they're not the ones signing the checks. So I'm not really concerned about it. And generally that's my attitude on life as well. If you're not the one signing my check, I don't really care what you think, because it just doesn't matter. But the critics do have a point on what's going on with Zeke and the Cowboys and his, you know, inability to put up the numbers that his backup is putting up. So I'm really interested to see how that plays out this week in that game as well. And I think I'm softening towards Nick Sirianni. I was not sure that this was going to work. And I don't want to get crazy. It's still week 3. As I said at the beginning of the show, we're starting to see the colors come through for the masterpieces that each of these teams are creating throughout the season. And, you know, through injuries, through some, you know, great play, through some terrible play, we're starting to see what each of these teams are. But I love Jalen Hurts. I thought Jalen Hurts was the starter, even though all of Philadelphia seemed to have a problem with me saying that. And he's looked great. And Nick Sirianni is I'm starting to like him. Starting to see, not that I didn't like him, but I was just a little unimpressed with the first press conference. It was a little shaky. I wasn't the only one, but I'm starting to have a little more confidence in him. I like that he had the, you know, beat the Cowboys shirt on this week. I thought that was cute leading into the rivalry. So yeah, those games, Matthew Stafford, Justin Fields. Oh, the Raiders. I forgot to mention the Raiders. Oh. Those spicy Raiders, if they can go 3-0, that is going to be a really big story. And I think they are going to. Miami obviously doesn't have Tua like Jacoby Brissett, but I think they're going to win this weekend. So that's another great storyline. So Justin Fields, Matthew Stafford, and Tom Brady, the Raiders going 3-0, Packers, Niners, Cowboys, Eagles. A lot of stuff going on this weekend. I'm taking the Bengals to cover and the Eagles to cover as well. We'll talk to Ryan Russillo of The Ringer coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk to Ashley Nicole Moss and Jen Welter, keep you updated with all of these scores around the college football craziness. Penn State up 24-3 on Villanova. LSU up 14-3 on Mississippi State. And I want to talk more about this Justin Fields situation coming up around the corner and what I think about what's going on with Matt Nagy and the Chicago Bears. Ryan Russillo at the bottom of the hour. Joy Taylor on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Tragedy. So I got my, I'm not going to say the company, but I got my food delivered. And the food wasn't in it. I got the coffee and the food wasn't in it. My brain doesn't function if I don't have breakfast. So I've been running around all morning and didn't get a chance to do that. So nobody cares about this, but I'm hungry. It's Joy Taylor on Fox Sports Radio. A beautiful Los Angeles day. Thanks for joining us. Talk to Ryan Russillo in just a few minutes at the bottom of the hour. Might also hear from Bo and Iowa Sam throughout the show. So I'm very invested in this Justin Fields situation. Maybe a little too invested, but I have my philosophies on things. And one of my philosophies is that sharks are born swimming. What does that mean? It means that you get better with experience, right? Like you can just go out there and just do it. Nobody like puts the sharks in shark swimming school. It just happens. And when it comes to these young quarterbacks, I think we've gotten a little overboard with the Patrick Mahomes situation, the Aaron Rodgers situation. Those are outliers. And as far as the Aaron Rodgers sitting behind Brett Favre, that's an outdated process. What did he sit for, 3 years? You would never do that now. That would negate the point of taking a quarterback. The purpose of having a young quarterback is so that you can bring in high-level free agents and build a team around him while he's still cheap. So the idea, and also, you know, Brett Favre's a first ballot Hall of Famer. So, you know, if you have a first ballot Hall of Famer waiting, and then you have your next guy waiting, like that's an ideal situation. Most teams are not in that situation. Not to mention the fact that Brett Favre didn't like that situation. It didn't end well in Green Bay. And they're trying to do that with Aaron Rodgers now, and it's the same exact scenario. It's a disaster. So really, like, the one to look at that is, you know, the blueprint for this is Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith. Well, Alex Smith is also an incredibly unique individual. He is the personality type to handle a situation like that. He's been in that situation. And while I'm sure you get him alone and he keeps it a buck, he didn't love it. It doesn't matter because he did what he needed to do and he did what was right for the organization. And in many ways, it's paid off because he will always be mentioned as a part of the process of what created Patrick Mahomes, what got Patrick Mahomes to the level that he is at now. Patrick Mahomes gives him credit. Andy Reid gives him credit. But again, that's Patrick Mahomes. And he went to Andy Reid and the Chiefs, a good team, a playoff level team. So everyone always points to that, like, this is what you should do. Like, you should ease these young quarterbacks in and, like, make sure, you know, they don't know everything yet. Like, none of these rookies know everything yet. But are they really learning from holding a clipboard? Or I guess they don't hold clipboards anymore. What are the tablets? Are they really learning from holding this Surface tablet what they should be doing on the field? I don't believe so. I get it. You know, generally these teams don't have good offensive lines. They're rebuilding. That's why they're getting a young quarterback to begin with. You don't want them to lose their confidence and all that. I just feel like that's way overblown. Like, the Joe Burrow situation obviously was a disaster, but it's a disaster this year. He's still running for his life. So that's a whole other conversation, like how teams should build if they're taking a young quarterback. Because if it's me, if it's my organization, I want them to go all in on an offensive line. Just whatever you have to do constantly to make sure that you are protecting your young quarterback. Because otherwise, what's the point? And so many teams do everything the opposite of that. And then they pay for it. Like, it's great to have awesome skill position players. If he doesn't have time to throw the ball, or if he's getting hit four times a game, it doesn't matter. So I think it's a very nuanced conversation of how do you build a team the right way when you're taking a young quarterback? When are they ready? If they're not ready, what do you do? And I think each situation is a little bit different. But at the end of the day, we're talking about human beings. And there's a dynamic here when you bring in a new guy that you really need to give him the team. And it's really hard to squash the conversation that surrounds your current starter when you draft your future quarterback, which has been the situation in Chicago from the moment that they took Justin Fields. And again, maybe I'm being a little cold-hearted about this quote-unquote promise that was made to Andy Dalton, but, like, man, whoever made him that promise, you need to promise me something, because they are loyal to that statement. They are not backing off of it. And Matt Nagy talked about it when he was asked about Justin Fields starting and said that when Andy Dalton is healthy, that he's going to be the starter. And I don't get it. Like, what do you mean he's going to be the starter? Like, why? If Justin Fields goes out this weekend and is awesome or competent, what is the value of bringing Andy Dalton back once he's healthy? What are you doing? Like, what is the value there? Now, if Justin Fields is terrible, okay, throw all this out. And, you know, he's going to be playing, obviously, until Andy Dalton comes back. But then that's maybe a different conversation. But if Justin Fields is competent, why would you not continue to have him out there and have him continue to develop and learn new things and make mistakes and rise and fall? It was my issue with Tua last year. What is the point of taking him out? You didn't make it the playoffs. What? You brought Ryan Fitzpatrick in to save the day for what? He needs to learn how, like, what it is that he did wrong that made us lose this game. Like, go watch that. He's not watching Ryan Fitzpatrick do the right thing. And it's the same with Justin Fields. Like, what are you talking about? Andy Dalton is still the starter. What does that do to the locker room? What is the point of it all? And that's what's making me so confused about what's going on in Chicago. Because obviously, the fan base wants to see Justin Fields. And they deserve it. I mean, they have not had a quarterback since Sid Luckman. Don't give me Jay Cutler. I don't want to hear anything about Jay Cutler. I don't think Bears fans want to either. Am I missing someone? Did I forget someone along those lines?
Rex Grossman had his moments.
Okay.
Also, McMahon, back in the day. Won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. It's been a long time. And they deserve it. They deserve to be excited about it. And now you can't just do things because the fan base wants you to do them. Obviously, I get it. But Mark Sanchez came on The Herd, which you can watch and listen to noon to three weekdays on FS1, with myself and Colin Cowherd. And he made a really, really good point about all this, which, circling back to the Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Alex Smith situation, while that did work, that was Kansas City. Now, I've spent some time in Kansas City. Wonderful place. I actually really enjoyed it. But the media there is not the same as Chicago. It's just not. They love their Chiefs now, but it's not the city of Chicago. So the patience level is going to be different. The intensity level is going to be different. So when you're talking about, and the fact that they haven't had winning. Like, the Chicago Bears have been perennially disappointing, despite the fact that they've had elite defenses and some exciting players. So it's not the same thing as Kansas City having Patrick Mahomes, Alex Smith is there, Andy Reid is there, and, you know, the patience level that organization, that fan base and city is going to have for you. That's just not going to happen in Chicago. So again, I'm just confused as to the process. It doesn't make any sense to me. I get it. It's nice to be able to, you know, let them learn a little bit. But to me, like, I'm not going to get better. I didn't get better at doing radio from watching someone else do radio. Now, I learned how to do it. I learned the technicalities. I observed. I absorbed. But it's reps. It's repetition that makes you an expert, that makes you better. So when you're taking those reps away from your future quarterback, your future of the organization, what are you replacing that with? And who is he watching? Like, I think Alex Smith is better than Andy Dalton, but I also think the mentality is different. And that is a significance. Like, the situation with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes was at least publicly, like, very obvious that this is the next thing that's happening. This is a temporary situation. And Andy Dalton's out here like, no, this is my team. I'm the starter. Like, yes, I'm going to help Justin, but it's my team. So I'm just really, I'm excited to be able to see Justin Fields this weekend against the Browns. Now the Browns are favored by 7. At least they were favored by 7 yesterday. That's 7.5 now? Okay. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not a Browns hater. I'm going to stay away from this game because I want to see what Justin Fields does. I don't want to have the anxiety of his first start against the Browns. And I really like their defense, even though they haven't really been playing to the level of the talent that they have. They're more of the veteran team in this situation. Now Jarvis Landry being out, I think, is actually significant. But is Odell available? Did we see that news yet? Is he going to play?
Yeah, he's active tomorrow.
He's active? Okay. That's interesting. Yeah, I would stay away from that then overall. But I'm just really looking forward to seeing what Justin Fields is capable of, because this whole narrative is just weird to me. Like, I didn't care that Zach Wilson threw four interceptions last week. That didn't bother me. I expect these young quarterbacks to struggle. Like, people are already talking about, like, is Trevor Lawrence a bust? Like, no, man. He's in Jacksonville. He was the number one overall pick there for a reason. They're not a good team. We got to be a little more patient than that. But let them make mistakes. Let them learn. Let them throw those interceptions. You are a rebuilding team. I know it sucks for the rest of the roster. I know it sucks for the fan base, but that's the process. And even though I hated this little slogan, you do have to trust the process a little bit. Not too much. Into 4 or 5 years, you know, it's not the process anymore. It failed. Which, by the way, did you see that Ben Simmons news today? I'm going to ask Ryan about that. What a disaster. Woo! What a disaster that situation in Philadelphia is. I know it's the NFL season and we're in the middle of a college football Saturday, but I got to talk a little bit about it with Ryan, because, man, whew, they could have avoided that. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Let's get to what's trending, and then we'll talk to Ryan Masillo.
Joy, I got to ask you before I get into college football.
Yes?
It's a personal question.
Ooh.
But, you know, we're all family now, so we got to share a little something-something. So you've been obviously in Pittsburgh, in Miami, and now Los Angeles.
Yes.
And you start off the show with a couple different things, but first off, you were a little hangry.
I am. I'm hangry currently.
Hangry,
yes.
In the process. So what is the breakfast of choice now that you're on the West Coast?
So
it's personal.
It's personal. So I get the same thing for breakfast every day when I'm doing the herd, and that is turkey, bacon, egg whites, and a half avocado.
All right.
And a matcha tea.
No food fade.
Food fade?
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, like, food fade is like as soon as you get in, you know, food coma.
No. It's got to be healthy if I'm eating it every day.
Okay.
And I'm like very Steve Jobs with it. I like to park in the same parking spot, eat the same thing for breakfast, you know, like limit the decisions I'm making throughout the day.
Is that the same for when you were in Miami or in Pittsburgh?
No. It's actually that started with Undisputed, because I had to get up so early, and Skip is very much like that, and he taught me how to do that, and it's helped a lot, actually.
Nice.
But on the weekends when I'm doing this, I'm a huge egg sausage breakfast sandwich person.
Yeah, you know what? That used to happen here a lot, but Iowa Sam decided to not deliver that to us anymore for some odd reason.
Are you talking about the breakfast burritos?
Yeah, I'm talking about the... Yeah, way to join in the conversation. Yeah.
I literally just ordered... I multitasked because I'm a woman and I'm capable of doing that. Talking to you, doing radio, and ordering a sausage breakfast burrito. So that's what's coming to me soon.
Well, I hope you didn't order it from Whole Foods, because it's like $15 just for like...
I spent a lot of money on this burrito, regardless.
Hopefully it's a good one then. Fair enough. You had mentioned also the Notre Dame-Wisconsin game. That game has now gone into the second half.
Burks out of the shotgun, takes the snap, throws over the middle. Cut by Pryor, inside the five, and he's in. Touchdown, Wisconsin. Graham Mertz to Kendrick Pryor. And the Badgers are in for the first time today.
Got herself a ball game. It is on Fox. 10-10 is the score. Notre Dame trying to go to 4-0 on the young season. Georgia's going to go to 4-0. They're blasting Vanderbilt 55-0. This game's now at the end of the third quarter. Penn State 31-3 over Villanova. And Coastal Carolina against unranked and winless UMass.
McCall's going to keep it left side. He's just going to tuck it up into the end zone. Doesn't get much easier than that. Touchdown, Chanticleer's.
Chanticleer's leading right now 36-0. This game's near the end of the first half. LSU 21-10 over Mississippi State. Joy, back to you.
Joy Taylor on the Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. Let's go out to Ryan Russillo of The Ringer and the Ryan Russillo podcast. Ryan, thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, morning, Joy.
What's your breakfast of choice?
I caught some of that. I got to be honest with you, like, I usually just have a juice in the morning, and then I tape early, and then I don't like to go work out with a full meal in me. So I usually don't eat until after 11 or 12.
That's fair. I don't like to work out with a bunch of food in my stomach either, but I don't work out till the afternoon, so I have to eat a big breakfast. Colin is obviously a dear friend of both of ours and my co-host, does not eat a big breakfast, so he eats all day during the show.
Yeah, he's a big snack guy, and I always – like, whenever I describe Colin to people, I go, it's a good thing he's a really earnest, sincere guy. He's a terrific friend. He's a very loyal guy. Because if he wasn't any of those things, he would get punched more often with his eating habits. Like, I remember being at an event, and he just started eating French fries off a kid's plate. And he didn't even know the kid. So I don't know how he gets away with some of the stuff. And then whenever there were donuts in the hallway at ESPN, he would just like rip a piece off of four of them and touch them all. And then he'd be like, oh, you know, I'm trying to figure it out. And we'd be like, dude, nobody wants to touch any of the other donuts that you manhandled. And he'd be like, oh, you know, I'll just tell you. So I love the guy, but his eating habits are different.
Wow. Touching all the donuts, huh? That's wild.
Yeah, he would touch all of them. I mean, nobody was weirder than David Pollack. Pollack was such a non-sugar guy, former college football great, NFL player on game day. He would lick treats that they would, because I did college game day for radio, and if they brought like sugary treats, he would like lick a bunch of them so that he wouldn't eat them and ruin them. So I don't know. Everybody's different, man.
What?
Yeah.
Listen, this I would be in HR. I would have to fight someone. that's insane. We're talking to Ryan Russillo. So I mentioned this. Obviously, it's NFL season and it's a college football Saturday. But this Ben Simmons drama is just amazing to me. So I have to ask you about it really quickly. Like, what is your take on the situation currently with Ben Simmons in Philadelphia?
Well, you know, I think we all kind of saw this coming from a basketball standpoint. You know, I think there was always a group of writers and maybe just Philadelphia media that are still huge fans. And I'm not knocking being in the media and still kind of rooting for the team you grew up for, but you know, whenever your analysis is like, I hope this works out because it's my favorite team, then I don't really put a lot of value into it. And I always felt like I couldn't believe basketball people could watch both Ben and Embiid and think. And this is how I judge basketball now. It's like the last 4 minutes of a tight playoff game. Like, it's who you really are. It exposes all your flaws. It shows everyone's greatness. And watching the end of that Atlanta series, those last few minutes, was everything I thought that was problematic with the way they paired up. They're actually like the worst possible matchup for each other to both be on the same team, despite, you know, some of the plus-minus numbers that tell you how great they are. And obviously Embiid's one of the best players in the league. So as this played out, you know, I'd heard over a month ago he's potentially going to hold out. I thought it was sort of met with kind of indifference by the Sixers to just kind of go like, all right, you know, whatever, man. Like, you're Ben Simmons. You're not one of the great players in this league right now. Even if you're the highest Ben Simmons ceiling type of person, you know, he's not those guys. So if you have 4 years left in your deal, like, we've all accepted when it's 1 year left or 1.5 years left, somebody wants out, they can really force their way out. And I think like the media is okay with it. I think fans have become cooler with it, but this is 4 years left of a max deal. So Simmons is going to have to play this a little differently, and they went with a nuclear option. And like, hey, we're not showing up, and on top of that, don't come visit me. So this is the way to get your way, is that you have to be just so difficult, so impossible, that nobody wants to even think there's any resolution. And I think this is exactly what they're doing right out of the playbook.
I could talk to you about this for an hour. I have so many thoughts, but I'm going to get to some NFL and college stuff really quickly. But in short, I agree. I mean, we so saw this coming. It's not a surprise at all. Which is why I don't understand why they didn't make a move earlier. Okay, so the USC job, we're here in LA, and it's a massive, massive job. Colin talks about it all the time. Obviously, he's a big USC guy. But I think that college football, particularly this year, is very interesting because there seems to be a lot more parity than there normally is. And, you know, Oregon's very interesting. There's some things happening at UCLA. Like, the Pac-12 is becoming a more interesting conference. And obviously we know what the USC brand is. What do you think, what are you hearing about the direction they go with the head coach? Because I believe they have to, this hire is so significant, not just for USC, but for college football, that whenever they do make this decision, it has to be almost a consensus. Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Hey, look, even on the East Coast, I always loved the Pac-12. You know, we were, Van Pelt and I were huge college football fans. We're the guys that would stay up and watch all of these games. And I always felt like the Pac-12 didn't get enough credit because I always felt like even in the middle to the bottom part of it, it was deeper. Like there are some conferences that are better, but like at the bottom of the ACC, you know, the SEC even had some stretches where the East Division, you'd be like, well, who cares about these teams at the bottom? Where I always felt like the Pac-12 had some real depth. And I've hoped for this conference to kind of turn things around, and I think they will without Larry Scott, his leadership, where it looked like it was like a big WeWork deal. I would expect the USC job because it's been flat, right? I mean, when you look up the Clay Helton stuff, you're like, wait, he's been there how long?
Yeah.
God, it feels like he's only been there like 4 years. I think it was seven. Like it feels like they were asking him to get him fired for like six. They tried to chase the Pete Carroll thing, but they didn't have guys that were mature enough in the situation to run the program. So then they kind of wanted a guy in Helton who felt like an adult. But in that regard, everything we've read about it is like their development was terrible. They still had top recruiting classes. I think post-Carroll, they had 9 top 10 recruiting classes at SE, and yet the draft picks dipped down. So you need somebody who's about development, but you also need somebody who brings energy. And I know that every school is always trying to do that, Joy. And I always think that schools get a little short-sighted in the way that they'll think, like, hey, I want to win the press conference. I want everybody to go nuts at the luncheon. It's like, okay, but did you win that? And then you don't know if – because that win's really insignificant. But I'd be surprised if James Franklin and Penn State, if he were offered the gig, I'd be shocked if he wouldn't want it. The buyout isn't that much. And if you spend any time with Franklin – he's all about energy. His recruiting's terrific. He's put together a nice run at Penn State. Who knows? They might be the best team in the Big Ten this year with Ohio State taking a drop back. But if you know anything about Franklin, it would shock me if he didn't have interest in this job because it's Los Angeles. It's all the spotlight. I think that's what Franklin's all about and is great, is historic, is everything. Like, I'm not knocking Penn State. It's not Los Angeles.
No, Happy Valley is not Los Angeles. I've been to Penn State many times, and I've lived in
LA
for almost 6 years.
You have Penn State connections.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree about that.
Yeah, so it's not the same. And his name keeps coming up, and I just the LA thing alone, I know everybody around the country thinks that we're, you know, coastal elitist, and we are, but it's better. Like, it's just better here, and it's a whole different experience, and it's significant, and it's historic if he were to do that. And it's not a knock on Penn State and what they are, or, and to your point, what they have become as far as an actual, like, competitive program, but it's just a bigger deal if he were to come to USC. And I actually would be surprised if he was offered it if he didn't come as well. We're talking to Ryan Russillo of The Ringer, the Ryan Russillo podcast. Great podcast, by the way. Great podcast.
Thank you.
All right. So there was a little, I don't want to call it drama, but Alex Guerrero had some things to say about Belichick. I don't feel like it was out of line. They're not there anymore. And he didn't, in my opinion, tell a lie. But what did you think about him saying that, you know, Belichick didn't evolve and he, like, was treating Tom Brady like he was 20 when he was 40?
Look, I think it's accurate. I mean, look, Belichick is one of the all time. We don't need to debate this. You know, there are people that are so great at what they do. Like, look, LeBron James is everything you would want as the face of your franchise. Does he send out a corny tweet every now and then? Sure. Am I going to let that get in the way of what this guy has delivered? He's been one of the best guarantees as an individual in team sports that we've seen in our lifetime. So I try not to let that 5 to 10% get in the way of the appreciation of the rest of it, right? That's my rule with him. It's the same thing with Belichick. I don't love all the press conferences. I don't love the way he can be dismissive when it feels like, can he answer for this a little bit? I mean, he almost got on the media's case for even having any remote interest in Aaron Hernandez's backstory, like it was somehow our fault, right? So there are times where I don't love how petty and energy that's being used that I think is being wasted to act like you have no energy for it. So having said all those things, like, look, the Belichick experience isn't for everyone. But if you are Brady, who's essentially like the mailroom executive, the guy that was working in the mailroom and 20 years later he's the CEO of some corporation, others around him are going to look at him differently. You know, the entry point's a huge deal. If Brady were the number one overall pick and – and the biggest resume ever and one of the great prospects, you know, for a decade, then he probably would have carried himself differently. Instead, he's this late round guy. Nobody thinks he's going to be any good. And then he ends up with New England, and it's like, we'll see what's going on. So he's going to be more deferential by nature because he's just trying to survive. You know, he's trying to, he's hoping his uniform is in the locker when he comes back after practice. So Belichick, to his credit, I think, was like, look, it's about football. If you're not into football, if you don't care about football, we don't have time. We don't have time for the rest of that stuff. Now, we've seen athletes and the interest in, and the broadening of the horizons. You know, that thing has expanded quite a bit in the last few years. So maybe the more modern athlete isn't going to deal with the Belichick approach as much as somebody else. But I think as Brady continued, he's like, look, I'm still going to get treated like this after 20 years of doing what I've done. And I think for Belichick, it's just really hard to be like, you know, I need to now treat him differently when that entry point was this younger, deferential guy who owed Bill a lot because Bill had so much faith in him early on. But if anybody who's worked in business, if you're in a talk show where the other guy's far more established and he helped you out, that's always going to be hard to beat that big brother, little brother thing, okay? Theo Epstein, I remember going to the Red Sox, and they didn't want to make him the GM. They wanted to make somebody else the GM, and then they were going to make him the interim GM. They had, like, somebody hold his hand for a little while. And then, you know, he was somebody that ownership brought in from San Diego as, like, an intern. And then finally, when he won a World Series and starts sticking his chest out a little bit, they're like, hey, you're still this kid that we grabbed from, like, PR, so relax. So that stuff happened. I mean, this is human nature. So I don't really think Brady's trainer was wrong. I don't even think it's necessarily a criticism of Bill, Joy. I think it's just the reality of if you're Brady at the beginning, it's hard for Bill to evolve to who you've been. And we've clearly seen, as I finish up here, like Brady wanted to talk more. Brady wanted to do more stuff. He likes to troll people. He's, you know, some of them are dad tweets, but you know what I mean? Like he seems to be really be enjoying this post New England personality that he's sharing with us a little bit more. So, you know, I'm sure it gets annoying for a while, but Brady bought it all. They were completely aligned. And then like anybody, when you're younger and you're that successful, you kind of get sick of being told you're the same guy at the beginning of your career.
Yeah, I'm going to talk more about this on the other side, but I agree. I don't think it's an indictment of Belichick at all, and he didn't lie. Thank you so much for coming on with me, Ryan. I appreciate it. Check out the Ryan Russillo podcast, Ryan Russillo of The Ringer. Enjoy your college football Saturday.
All right. Thanks, Joy.
Thanks. We'll talk to Ashley Nicole Moss and Jen Welter coming up, and I'm going to discuss my thoughts on the Alex Guerrero statement about Belichick on the other side. Joy Taylor Show. Welcome back, Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. 30th anniversary of one of the greatest albums in the history of music, Nevermind, Nirvana. Jammed out to that a lot yesterday. Jammed out. So thank you to Ryan Russillo for joining us. He talked a little bit about the Alex Guerrero situation there, and I want to elaborate a little bit on that as well. We'll talk to Jen Welter and Ashley Nicole Moss of Sports Illustrated. Ashley at the top of the hour. So Tom Brady's trainer, Alex Guerrero, who does the TB12 method stuff with him, talked about Tom's relationship with his former coach, Bill Belichick, legendary Bill Belichick, and said that his treatment of Brady after 20 seasons there was an attributing factor to him leaving, which is not revolutionary. We kind of knew that's why. But he said it was like Bill never really evolved with age. I think in time with Tom, as Tom got into his late 30s or early 40s, I think Bill was still trying to treat him like that 20-year-old kid he drafted. I think that's such a Bill thing. He never evolved. You can't treat someone who's in their 40s like they're 20. It doesn't work. So he's not wrong. Now, you can have your opinion about whether Alex Guerrero should be talking about Bill Belichick and Tom Brady's relationship. That's fair. But everything he's saying is not untrue. And it's also, something can be several things. It's not a lie. It also doesn't change what happened in New England and that dynasty and the fact that the way that Bill Belichick is a massive contributing factor to the success that they had in New England. But I also believe that if you don't evolve and adjust your your overall approach. It doesn't mean that you have to be a different person. It doesn't mean that you don't have to have your morals and your pillars and, you know, the things that made you what you are and made you successful. But times change, environments change, players change, societies change. So if you don't adjust with that, then that can affect you and your legacy moving forward. Nothing has changed about the dynasty that happens in New England. And part of it happened because Belichick has the mentality that he has. Do your job the Patriot way. And Tom Brady bought into that. But yeah, you can't treat Tom Brady with five Super Bowls at the age of 40 the same way you treated him when he was a sixth round pick at the age of 20. It's just not the same thing. So I don't think Alex Guerrero was lying. I think it's obvious because Tom's in Tampa Bay, so there's a reason for that. But it doesn't change what happened there, and I can't wait until they're both retired and we can get all the good, juicy nuggets from that dynasty. The Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. We'll talk to Ashley Nicole Moss at the top of the hour. Jen Welter later on. Get you updated on all the college football scores and get you ready for the NFL Sunday. Updates. The sausage, egg, and cheese breakfast burrito has been consumed. I'm back. I get very hangry. I don't even remember what I said. I blacked out. Welcome to the Joy Taylor Show, brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. Plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. Las Vegas is a wonderful place. I love Las Vegas. Visitlasvegas.com. So we talked to Ryan Masillo earlier, and we'll talk to Jen Welter at the bottom of the hour. Thanks for joining us on a Saturday, College Football Saturday, getting you ready for the rest of week three of the NFL lineup tomorrow. Notre Dame is up 17-13 on Wisconsin right now. But let's talk to Ashley Nicole Moss of Sports Illustrated. Ashley, thank you for joining us this morning.
Hey, girl, how are you?
Doing great. I had breakfast now, so I'm in a completely different headspace. You know, we need our food. Get crazy. You're a Cowboys, man. I have so many thoughts. Okay, so Ashley is a Cowboys fan, and Zeke has been really struggling, and it's been getting a lot of criticism because of that, because Tony Pollard has looked great, and obviously you don't want your backup having more production than you. But what do you feel about the Zeke situation?
I think it's an issue of, you know, Zeke's been in the league for a while, and his strong suit has always been going up the middle, right? He's not really good on the outside, which is where Pollard just shines. He's a lot more agile than Zeke. He's smaller. He's a little bit more fit in terms of being lean, so he's really able to get to the outside a lot better than Zeke can. So I think, you know, Zeke's kind of, the film is out on him. He really can only do one thing. He's a battering ram, and he's really, really good at that. But when you limit that ability for him to run up the middle, you kind of limit his ability to contribute to the game, and that's why I think Pollard's getting more touches and getting more handoffs, because you can do a lot more with him than you can do with Zeke. You can't even use Zeke as a receiver, because 9 times out of 10, he's dropping that pass. So you just are really limited with what you can do with him. And I know people are saying, well, you paid him all this money. At the end of the day, he's a running back for the Dallas Cowboys. He's going to get paid. But that doesn't mean that his game has a lot of different levels to it. It's very one-dimensional if you really, like, sit down and look at it.
How are you feeling about this matchup with the Eagles this weekend? Because it's one of the games that I like. I'm taking the Eagles to cover the spread. I don't know that they're going to win, but what are you feeling about this divisional matchup, this rivalry?
I think whenever you have an NFC matchup, anything can happen. You know, the NFC East is the best reality show in football. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, it's all over the place. You can think it's going to end one way. It can go completely differently. I think ultimately the Cowboys should win it. They're a better team, the more complete team. The Eagles have a lot of issues. There's a lot of holes in their game. Obviously, you know, they have some things that they do well. You can kind of see that in the 49ers game, which they probably should have won. You look at what they did in, you know, the Falcons game. Again, those are the Atlanta Falcons. It's not really tough competition. They have their own issues. Mm-hmm. But overall, I think that the Cowboys should win it. They're the better team. But it's definitely going to be interesting how they go ahead and maneuver through this, because this is a matchup that is on circled on the calendar twice a year for both teams, and also within the division. It's really, really an important game. It kind of sets the tone for who's going to come out on top. It should be Dallas, but it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, the Eagles sold their soul for that one Super Bowl that they won. They're probably going to not be relevant or not be good enough to win anything for the next 10 years or so.
You better be careful. Philadelphia, they be getting mad quick. I love Philadelphia, but I have many friends from there. I'm from Pittsburgh, so I've spent a lot of time in Philadelphia, but they were mad at me for just saying that Jalen Hurts was the starter, which I think is super weird. We're talking to Ashley Nicole Moss of Sports Illustrated. Follow her on social media, Ash Nicole Moss. I don't know. Did you pick Dallas to win the division this year?
Of course. Okay. I always pick Dallas to win the division.
Oh, okay.
Whether or
okay.
not they win it is a different conversation,
okay.
but they're always coming out on top, if you ask me.
Okay. Well, I picked them to win the division this year. Do you still feel good about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest concern for a lot of Cowboys fans, football fans in general, was really Dak. You know, he didn't have a preseason, dealing with the shoulder injury, that cryptic tweet that Dallas put out, and it was just a lot of things in the offseason that you were worried about. But I think seeing him, you know, the first game against Tampa Bay, how he just came out, threw for over 400 yards, you were definitely surprised. I was surprised about how good he really looked. He looked poised. He looked sharp. He's making better decisions when it comes to getting rid of or deciding to go ahead and audible out of a play. I mean, he just looks like he's playing the best basketball, I mean, the best football, rather, of his career. And I think that is really the key. You know, he's the glue that holds this team together. And as long as he's healthy and as long as he's playing his best game, I think everything around him will kind of just fall into place. But he is the common denominator. He's the nucleus of this team. And it's all about whether or not he can stay healthy and he can continue on this trajectory of playing really good football.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean, he's the reason that I picked them to win the division this year, because if you look around at just at the quarterback play, Dak is the only one that I don't have any questions about. And, you know, obviously, I think he has a ceiling overall as a player, but I love Dak, and clearly the Cowboys love Dak because they paid him, and he's the one sure thing in that division. Who's been the most surprising team to you so far?
Wow, there's a few. You know, I'm actually – Kansas City surprised me, not necessarily in a good way. I think, you know, as close as Kansas City has gotten in these past few games, I don't know if the film is out on them. I don't know if it's an arrogance about them that they feel like – and look, if you're a Super Bowl winner, you have a little bit of arrogance about you. You know what I mean? You're a Super Bowl winning team. You kind of walk around with your chest puffed out a little bit, and you feel like, look, we can overcome – any deficit, we can overcome any situation. But I'm definitely interested to see how that progresses throughout the season, because the small mistakes, the little things that you do wrong, and the little games that you may lose here and there, that catches up to you as you get closer and closer to the end of the season. It's going to be interesting to see if, you know, Kansas City really kind of narrows in and realizes, look, we won a Super Bowl, yeah, but this is a new season. I think right now they still have this air of arrogance around them that they think they can overcome any situation. And I think that's always a dangerous mindset to have. It's going to be interesting to see what they look like ultimately. I don't think they got defensively better, which I think was always a concern for Kansas City. Obviously, they have an incredible offense, an incredible quarterback. That's why he's the billion-dollar quarterback. But you still need a defense to win games. So the film is out on them. It's going to be interesting to see how they overcome the tape that is already out there.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned Kansas City's defense, because – they have a divisional matchup against the Chargers this weekend, and the Chargers have been horrible in the red zone, and Kansas City's defense is not good in the red zone. So it's a really interesting matchup between them tomorrow, the Chargers at Kansas City. So we were talking a little bit about this earlier in the show, and it's one of the things that drives me absolutely nuts, and it's this idea that we have to bubble wrap these young quarterbacks. It makes me crazy. I don't believe in it. It's just not a philosophy I believe in. But Justin Fields is starting this weekend. Matt Nagy has said that when Andy Dalton's healthy, he's still a starter. I think it's madness. But what do you think about Justin Fields and the situation with Matt Nagy and Andy Dalton?
You know, I think Matt Nagy is running the risk of losing his locker room. I mean, we talked about this. You already know who your guys want to be the starter, right? I agree with you. You know, the only way you can know a young quarterback is ready is if you throw him out there. It's sink or swim, right? You saw it with Deshaun Watson. You saw it with Jalen Hurts. You saw it with Tua. I mean, you've seen it with almost every single rookie quarterback, Joey Burrow. You really don't know if they're ready until you put them in a position. Yeah, you can kind of gauge it in practices and scrimmages, but that's not the same flow as a regular NFL game. And the only way to know if they're ready, and not only if they're ready, but what you have to improve on in those practices, in those scrimmages, is to go ahead and let him play. I think Justin Fields was born for this. I think he's more than ready. Is he going to be perfect? Absolutely not. There's going to be things that he does when he's out there that you're like shaking your head and you're like, what are you doing? But that's what happens when you're a rookie quarterback. But he is going to be the face of this franchise. And I don't know what, you know, the issue is, or I don't know what the philosophy is in dragging your feet and making the inevitable happen. Andy Dalton's not going to be there forever. Justin Fields is. Let him play. It's really that simple.
We're talking to Ashley Nicole Moss of Sports Illustrated. Check out her new show and follow her on social media at Ash Nicole Moss. You're listening to the Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. So Aaron Rodgers has been talking every single week, which it's good. Like, I love it. Personally, I love it. But it is interesting because it's not common to hear from, a quarterback the caliber of Aaron Rodgers every single week in these interviews that he does with Pat McAfee. And he was obviously, like, not happy with the coverage that he was getting and, you know, people mm-hmm. talking about, you know, if he was in the right mental space or whatever, and kind of, like, lashed out, like, who gives these people these platforms and whatever. Which, look, I'm a media nerd, okay? I talk about what other people do for a living. So, like, whatever. I don't care. Like, it's not going to, like, hurt my feelings that you think that the media are a bunch of nerds. We are. We're very self-important nerds. But I will say the conversation that we're having about Aaron Rodgers and his mental space and, you know, how locked in he is or whatever is only because of what he said. He's the one who said it. He said they weren't locked in last week. They didn't come out with any energy. He said this offseason he spends it on him. We are only reacting to what you're saying. So what is your opinion of how Aaron Rodgers is kind of handling this season with his transparency and then, like, not – I feel like he's just trying to win an impossible battle.
Absolutely. It's interesting because it's like you said, you kind of created this superstorm, right? And now all of a sudden you want to, like, back away. It's almost like throwing a grenade and then watching it blow up and say, oh my God, who threw that? You threw that. You're the reason we're even having these conversations. You caused this mayhem in the off season. Are you going to show up? Do you want out of Green Bay? All of this. You're clearly unhappy. You can see it in your mannerisms. And after the first game, people were like, he clearly doesn't want to be there. You look like a shell of yourself. You got to win the next time around. And now all of a sudden you're pointing the finger at everybody for talking about what it is that you wanted or you created everybody to talk about. So it's going to be – look, I personally don't think Aaron Rodgers wants to be there. I think he's there by default almost. I think the situation did not go the way that he wanted it to go. And, yes, it's Aaron Rodgers. He could have went ahead and opted out if he chose to. He is that caliber of a quarterback. He didn't. You're there now. This is what everyone's talking about because of you. You just got to kind of deal with it. I hate when people do that. I hate when people create a conversation and then want to back away from it once the conversation's being had. If you didn't want the conversation there, this shouldn't have happened from the jump. It's just a very weird dynamic. It's super weird to me.
Am I the drama? Is it me? No, yeah, I'm not, like, the drama. Am I the drama? Am I the villain? I love it because I love content and I love anarchy. So I'm here for all of it. I'm not mad at anybody. I just do think it's very interesting and it's an impossible thing to try and win out. Why do people have platforms and whatever? Like, everybody has an opinion. It just is what it is. And mm-hmm. not everyone is qualified to have an opinion, but that's just the world that we live in. So listen to what you want to listen to and don't. But, this is just the reality that we're in. Thank you to Ashley Nicole Moss for joining us. She is the host of a great show on Sports Illustrated, Laces Out. sneakerhead. I'm wearing my J's right now.
Nice.
Also the host of Certified Buckets on Uninterrupted and an SNY TV NBA contributor. She is great on basketball as well. We are up against it, but I want to have you back on during the NBA season.
Of course.
Follow her at Ash Nicole Moss. Thank you so much for joining us, Ashley. Enjoy your weekend.
As always, bye.
For endless hot water, choose Navien. Get all the hot water you need for as long as you need it. Right now, save hundreds on a new Navien tankless water heater with local rebates. Visit tanklessmadesimple.com, tanklessmadesimple.com. You're listening to The Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. We'll get you caught up on all the college football action. Talk to Jen Welter about some more NFL games this weekend. I'll give you my picks again and talk a little bit more about this Aaron Rodgers situation on the other side.
So in life, throws you uh-ohs. Just save, better get Mako.
And head to Mako.com for an online estimate.
Welcome back to the Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. Beautiful Saturday afternoon. Thanks for joining us. Thank you to Ryan Rosillo and Ashley Nicole Moss. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Very exciting weekend of games coming up in the NFL. Looking forward to it. I'm going to talk to Jen Welter at the bottom of the hour. Get her thoughts on some of the matchups this weekend, some of the stuff going on around the league. I know I said I wanted to talk about Aaron Rodgers, but I forgot I wanted to talk about this Tua Deshaun Watson situation again. So the Raiders play the Dolphins this weekend. I think the Raiders win convincingly. I'm actually very impressed with the Raiders so far. Now, I don't know how sustainable this is throughout the rest of the season, but got to give them credit where it's due. They look good, and I do think they will beat Miami this weekend without Tua, who is injured again. And a story came out this week on Pro Football Talk that the Dolphins owner, Stephen Ross, wants Deshaun Watson. Like now, even with everything that's going on. And he's also not happy that word has trickled out that he wants Deshaun Watson. And they apparently haven't made the trade, not because of everything that's going on with the 22 civil lawsuits and 10 criminal complaints. They haven't made the trade because Houston wants 3 first round picks and 2 second round picks. Allegedly, that's the ask for Deshaun Watson. Which I think is just absolute madness, considering the situation. But they're happy to not play him right now. And he clearly doesn't want to play for Houston ever again. And they're not budging on the price that they want for him. Now, my opinion on the situation is that if you're the Dolphins, and you're going to have a conversation about Deshaun Watson in this current situation that he is in. Like, not you can't disregard the lawsuits and the criminal complaints. You can't just disregard it. Like, you can't look at this situation as just bringing in a player, because it's not that simple. We have no answer on what is going to happen with any of these lawsuits or the complaints. And the investigation is still going on. The NFL hasn't decided what they're doing. So you could very well be in a situation where you trade for Deshaun Watson, in so ending the Tua era, or whatever this has been, in Miami, completely moving on from Tua if you make this trade. And then he can't play. So you've given up 3 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, completely moved on from Tua in so doing that, bring in Deshaun Watson, and then he can't play. So if knowing all of these things, I'm not revealing anything to anybody. All of these things being absolute known factors. If you're going to have the conversation with another person in the organization about the possibility of bringing in Deshaun Watson. It cannot get out unless you are going to do it. Because once again, now, we don't know if Tua is the guy there. So the fan base doesn't know what's going on. The locker room doesn't know what's going on. All of this messaging is, we're not really bought into him. And now he's injured. Again. So there's just certain things that you can't do as an organization. You cannot allow that information to get out. If you're going to have that conversation, it has to be one of those conversations that is closed door. This conversation can't leave this room unless we decide we are going to do it. It cannot hit the public in any capacity because it shatters the confidence in Tua from a public standpoint. It sends the message that we are willing to consider bringing in this player with all of this off the field stuff, which whatever my opinion about it is, it doesn't matter because it's not finished. We don't have an answer on any of this. We don't have an answer on what the public opinion is going to be once the cases are settled or not settled. We don't have an answer from the NFL on if he's going to be suspended and for how long. We have no answers. So you're willing to just disregard all of that to have this conversation about a player who's also, by the way, not playing for the current team that he is employed by, which is a whole other issue. Now, listen, before all these complaints came out, I was on Deshaun's side about moving on from Houston. Like, that's a terribly run organization. It is habitually dysfunctional. And I get it. I would not want to spend my career in space, even if I signed a contract that is going to squander away my talents. And I know people get crazy about, oh, you signed a contract. Like, a contract is just an agreement between two parties. People change them all the time. They rip them up. It's called a divorce. That happens. It's not a blood oath. You didn't promise your firstborn child to the devil. It's a contract. But in this particular situation, with everything that's going on, there's so many layers to it. And I don't understand from an organizational standpoint how you could even have the conversation, even risk this information coming out in any capacity without 100% knowing what it is you're going to do. You can't tell me that you believe in Tua and he's the future of the organization if you're still having, like, this story came out yesterday. Like, we're still talking about the Dolphins considering Deshaun Watson. That stuff doesn't get out unless somebody wants it out. That's just how these leaks happen. Being inside baseball, I'm telling you, there are stories that have never gotten out, and there's a reason for it. And then there's stories that get out, and you're like, oh, well, we know why that's out there. So I just don't get it. The Deshaun Watson situation is just such a huge unknown off the field. On the field, obviously, we know what kind of player he is, but you just can't look at it that simply. Like, he might not be available. It's on the board. He never plays again, depending on how this all plays out. Like, how do you risk that? And, you know, I have questions about Tua's capability and certainly about his availability, but I'm not taking a risk like that. I just don't think that organization is that desperate. That said, here we are, and I think they will lose to the Raiders this weekend. And gotta say, I'm really impressed. I'm really impressed with those Las Vegas Raiders. And that first game against the Ravens was so fun to watch. So if you are headed to Las Vegas for a game, you will definitely enjoy it. I've been to Allegiant Stadium. I went to see my nephew, Isaiah, who plays for the Arizona Wildcats. It's a great facility. I advise that you walk over from Mandalay Bay. There is a pedestrian bridge. Nice little brisk walk. And remember to bring a clear bag, ladies, because I had not been to a stadium in a long time. And they were kind of nice to me and let me through with my bag, which was like a little bit bigger. So I got lucky. But yeah, I just completely forgot that that's a thing at stadiums. What's up, Iowa Sam?
So you have to have a clear purse?
Yeah, it's super annoying. It's
like, what is this, 1990 Spice Girls or something?
Yeah. So when
we're going to wear jellies too?
Yeah.
Remember jellies?
Yep, I do remember jellies. I had lots of jellies.
The dude wore jellies.
Dudes wore jellies?
No, the dude, like the Big Lebowski.
Remember, the dude. Yeah. Yeah, so I hadn't been to a stadium in quite some time. And obviously none of us went to stadiums for the most part last year. So I just completely forgot that's a thing, that if you go to a stadium and you are bringing a purse, it has to be clear. It's a security thing, but I just never, I've completely forgot about it, because when I do go to stadiums, I usually bring a small one anyway. So it doesn't occur to me that I, and it still was small, but it's just like a little long. So I thought I was just gonna have to like carry all my belongings in my hands until I got inside and like bought a clear purse. But yeah, I mean, I'm probably not giving any information to people that generally go to games, but yeah, you gotta have a clear purse. That's a thing. So the next time I go, I will be purchasing one. I saw a couple cute ones. So I might get a little fanny pack, a little clear fanny pack, make it fashion. This is what we gotta do. This is what, you know what? This is why ladies, this is why women mature faster than men. We have so much more stuff to worry about all the time. We have to always be thinking and considering and planning. That's what we do. You're listening to The Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. We'll talk to Dr. Jen Welter about the NFL Sunday slate and some other stories as well. But first, let's get to what's trending.
Well, good news, Joy. Iowa's going to lose in about 5 minutes from now. They take on Colorado State. Hawkeyes will go to 3-1.
Why are we taking jabs at Iowa State?
What does that have to do with clear purses?
This is, well, I don't know. It's college football season, right? Like, you have to shoot at somebody, right?
That's fair.
I mean,
but
Iowa they're not
so
losing.
Nice. We were. Let's pick on somebody else other than Iowa.
Well, Bo doesn't count though. Bo's an in betweener. Bo's a diehard Rams fan anyway, so we can't attack him on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And I will not take a shot at your U because. Well,
I mean, what's the point?
That's right.
I'm not going to defend them.
Seriously, it's yeah. So, and we got drama in USC anyway. So, anyways, yes, Iowa's going to lose here in about 5 minutes from now. Anyways, Notre Dame, Wisconsin. This game was tight for a bit, and all of a sudden,
Chris Tyree from the 2 brings it out across the 10, 15, 20, across the middle of the field. Got a little room. 40, 45, 50. Foot race to the end zone. 40, 30, running down the near numbers. 20, 10. Touchdown, Chris Tyree.
Yes! A little excited there. That was the backbreaking play, though. Notre Dame leads with 5:20 to play in regulation, 24-13 over Wisconsin. Georgia wins big today, 62-0 over Vandy. Penn State wins Coastal Carolina by 50 over UMass. That ball game now getting into the fourth quarter. And LSU holding on for dear life, 28-25 over Mississippi State. Mississippi State scored 2 touchdowns in the last 4.5 minutes of play. There's a 1:53 to play in regulation. Boise State 27-3 over Utah State. Joy, back to you.
All right. Very excited to talk to Dr. Jen Welter, dear friend of mine, and knows she has forgotten more about football than I will ever know. And I love talking to her about the NFL and just stories and coaching and defense, of course. And she's the best. And she's going to be in 7 cities in October doing football camps, youth football camps, which she's incredible at. I've been to one, and she's just the best. So thank you, Jen, for joining us this morning.
Absolutely. And Joy, though they may think that you might forget more about football than I know, I will push back on that. And I will say I have watched you teach receivers how to catch and you got some pretty sweet hands. So.
Thank you. Thank you. I am definitely not tough enough to play football. I am not wired that way. I don't mind a little scrap, but that full head on collision thing, you guys are just wired differently. How many years did you play football?
I actually played about 15 years, Joy.
It's crazy. So you've been around the game for a long time. I actually want to ask you, I want to skip ahead. I want to ask you about Micah Parsons, because I love him as a player. I love his attitude. I love his energy. He talks a little smack. He's got a great personality. He's perfect for Dallas, and he is favored to be Defensive Rookie of the Year this year, and I think it's completely warranted. But what do you think of Micah as a player?
Well, I love Micah. He was somebody I looked at a lot going into the draft, and I remember watching him and thinking, he reminds me of LeVar Arrington, the way he played and
well,
how LeVar, multiple he was.
LeVar is his mentor.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. And so I actually interviewed LeVar going into the draft, and he said he is just a special, special guy. And you see it on the field, right? Dallas has answered some of their questions at pass rush, using him up there, making him multiple. You also see him with that green dot on there, which means he calls some of the plays. So mm-hmm. he's very smart, multiple, and he is what Dallas desperately has needed. Last year, there was no D in Dallas, so they were the Alice Outboys, painful to watch. And this year, it is a whole nother defense under Dan Quinn.
We're talking to Jen Welter. So they play the Eagles this weekend, divisional rivalry, and Nick Sirianni is the new head coach there. I was a little concerned after his first press conference. It was not very commanding. It made me a little nervous about the future of the organization. And they've had, you know, their share of drama over the past couple years since their Super Bowl win. But I'm starting to warm up to him. I think he has, I mean, he clearly has the attention of the locker room, which is why I wanted to ask you, like, how, you know, obviously coaches have to talk to the press a lot, and we're nerds, and what do we know? But, you know, there is something to being a Mike Tomlin, you know, coming to the stand, and this is that, and this is the way we do things, and, like, just being very commanding and having a presence. There is something to that with the fan base, with the media, and I also believe with, you know, men. You know, you're talking to these players. You have to convince a room of people to buy into one thing. So it seems like they are reacting to him, but how important is that? Like, does the media side of things, do we get overblown with, you know, how well of a speaker you are?
Well, I think the most important thing with coaches in the locker room is that the players know that they are 100% who they are, right? Like, you could have a Bruce Arians who says, you know, we sucked a little bit today. We got to get better. And he's, you know, no risk it, no biscuit. He's exactly who it is. You have Mike Tomlin, who, like you said, commands the room. You have Dan Campbell talking about biting kneecaps. And you have Bill Belichick, who will make you think you dropped an IQ point and knew less about football after he talked to you than you did when you started, because he tells you nothing. So every coach has their own style. I did think it was funny that he came out in, like, the Beat Dallas shirt.
Yeah.
So maybe he just has his own personality and how he does that. And it is an art to talk to the media. You know this. And we as football coaches are really taught, like, never say anything because they'll use it against you. And players kind of have that too. So if he hasn't been that front person before, which we know he's a new head coach, I would say give him a little grace and let him figure out his style. But in the locker room, you've got to be 100. Players have to buy into the game plan, how you convey it, and believe that you're going to put them in the best position to win.
We're talking to Dr. Jen Welter. Follow her on Twitter at jwelter47, former player and coach. Who's been the most impressive defense to you so far this season?
You know, we got to look at two defenses that really I just am loving right now. The first one is one that surprised me, and that's Carolina Panthers. I think we got to see just how good they are. Hassan Reddick going over there was a huge pickup for them. I have loved what they've been doing. Thank goodness for Sam Darnold. He finally gets to, like, be like, woohoo, I can play football, and see his defense do it, which helps him on the offensive side of the ball as well. So Carolina is nasty. They are really good. And then I've got to shout out those Arizona Cardinals, led by none other than Chanman Jones. And then, you know, you've got obviously J.J. Watt, which then means you can't just single a J.J. or you can't, you know, always with defense, you're looking at kind of where you're going to allocate resources. But you've got Chandler, you've got J.J., you've got Marcus. And, oh, by the way, you've got Buda Baker, who, when they get pressure on it, if you leave it up, he's going to get a pick. So they are dangerous and deadly to me as well. So those two are really fun for me.
Talking to Jen Welter on the Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. So I picked the Seahawks and the Bills at the beginning of this season to go to the Super Bowl. A little edgy, I know. But you have some thoughts on the Seahawks. How do you feel about that defense?
You know, their defense makes me mad, frankly. I want some dogs in that defense, right? If you think about, like, Pete Carroll, Legion of Boom, Seattle Seahawks, we fear you. Like, we have problems everywhere, and teams would literally have to game plan to neutralize people. You don't have that now, right? You don't have and the other defense I really like, let me be on the West Coast real quick, is that LA Rams. They're really fun to watch. You have Aaron Donald, who is, he's arguably the best, if not one of the best players in the NFL, and he's right in the center, so you can't even run away from him. And then you have Jalen Ramsey, who is like your secondary, you know, multiple player. You're going to use him everywhere. And I love the dog that he is. But you don't have that on Seattle. You have Bobby Wagner, who has to tackle everybody. And you have Jamal Adams, who is leading your team in sacks. And me being a linebacker slash edge rusher, defensive end, that makes me crazy, right? I love Jamal Adams. He is a special talent. Don't get me wrong. But you should never have someone in your secondary lead your team in sacks. It tells me that your dogs aren't in the hunt, and it makes me question the front seven. So I don't think that they have enough juice on defense to be able to let the Seattle Seahawks be as good as they are, considering that they have, you know, they have Russell Wilson and those great, you know, DK Metcalf and all those weapons on offense. I just don't think their defense is good enough. Last week against Tennessee, you had the left side of the offensive line was gone. They were all backups, and you couldn't do anything to stop that. It's unacceptable. You're not doing enough up front for me.
Well, I hope you're wrong so that my pick can be right, but you were very convincing there. Talking to Jen Welter, tell us a little bit about your guy Jameis this weekend. What should we expect against the Patriots in that defense?
First of all, that's the hardest defense in the NFL to go against scheme-wise, because Bill Belichick is, you know, I always think of like Dr. Evil, right? Put the pinky up to the side of the mouth, moo-hoo-ha-ha. Like he is in the kitchen cooking. He also generally has a first half game plan and a second half game plan, which is unique to them. Most teams adjust at halftime. They really do not, from what I understand. They come out with something brand new, so it's hard to get in a rhythm. And they're going to use the fact that Jameis doesn't have his dogs right now. He doesn't have Michael Thomas, who would pull double coverage. He doesn't have Alvin Kamara. Not that he doesn't have weapons, but there's nobody that's really dangerous. So that means that the Patriots are really going to spend their time trying to bait Jameis into doing what we all know he has the capacity to do, and that's big arm, but it's also some bad calls. However, Sean Payton has done a great job with him in the last year to teach him. You saw a lot more patience when he came out and dismantled Green Bay, right? And no, the yards weren't that high, but I'll take five touchdowns. And he finally didn't have to be the man all by himself. So if he can get patient, and if Alvin Kamara can, you know, come out and really take some of the pressure off that, you're going to see a tighter game than most people expect. But I do give the edge to the Patriots. However, Jameis is my underdog kind of comeback player of the year candidate. So watch for Jameis to get better and better as the season progresses. I just really want Michael Thomas back, and I need Alvin Kamara to fire on all cylinders.
Thanks so much for joining us, Jen. Enjoy your camps. Seven cities in October. We'll be on the go and we'll be following. Always appreciate talking to you. You're the best.
You got it. Anything for you, Joy.
Thank you, Jen. Thanks for joining us on the Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. I'll give you my picks and the games I'm most interested in this weekend for the NFL slate. And we'll get you updated on all the college games. Notre Dame up 27-13 on Wisconsin right now. Picks on the other side. Welcome back. Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. Beautiful Saturday afternoon. Texas A&M and Arkansas. No points yet. Penn State beat Villanova 38-17. Woo! Georgia. 62-0 on Vanderbilt. Skip Bayless is not going to be happy about that. The Notre Dame-Wisconsin game was close, but it is not close anymore. 41-13 Notre Dame over Wisconsin. Thank you to Ryan Rosillo of The Ringer, Ashley Nicole Moss of Sports Illustrated, and Jen Welter for joining us today. Very excited for tomorrow's games. Really looking forward to seeing Justin Fields get his first start against the Browns. And Odell is back, which is exciting. So that's a very interesting game. Matthew Stafford and Tom Brady, Rams and Bucks, obviously. Everyone's very excited about that. I think it's going to be a very high-scoring game. Matthew Stafford has all the time in the world. He is getting the best pass protection in the league in that offensive line right now. So he's being able to do his thing, which is interesting. Everyone, obviously, in LA is very excited about that Matthew Stafford acquisition. And Sean McVay is cheeky about it. He's just It's nothing but teeth that Sean McVay when he hears the word Matthew Stafford. And rightfully so. They're playing well. So interested in that. I think the Raiders are going to go 3-0 and beat my Dolphins. Packers-Niners is actually, I think, a huge game. There's a lot of injuries going on for the Niners. A lot of drama with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers still every single week. I almost feel like it's more important for the Packers because the Niners just have so much going on. It wouldn't be surprising for them to lose. But if the Packers lose this game, it's going to be anarchy. Like, there's already so much drama. And look, we knew they were going to blow out the Lions. Like, who was even concerned about that? Nobody. So if they lose to the Niners, I think that's really significant. Bengals and Steelers, TJ Watt is out. Ben Roethlisberger is banged up. They cannot run the ball. They are last in rushing. In the NFL are the Steelers, which is not what the Steelers do. So I think the Bengals cover 3 points in that game. I actually think the Bengals win outright, but there's just too much going on with the Steelers. And so that's why I didn't have them as a playoff team this year, despite, you know, the fact that I still have to go back to Pittsburgh from time to time because my family's there. But it's, I mean, they just got a lot going on. They squandered that Super Bowl window. Like, that's just what it is. I can keep it a buck about it. They should have had more success during the past couple years, and Ben Roethlisberger's aging quickly, and it could get ugly quick for the Steelers if they don't figure something out there. And the Eagles and Cowboys divisional matchup again. The Eagles are playing well. I love Jalen Hurts. I want to continue to see him develop. And Micah Parsons with the Cowboys. We talked about it with Jen Welter, and it's funny she mentioned LeVar Arrington, who is his mentor, and that he plays a lot like him. He does. I mean, obviously, both Penn State players, so there's a little similarity there. But he does have that LeVar energy, and he's such a fun player to watch. And obviously, we have the Zeke storyline in that game as well to see if he's going to get going. I thought Ashley Nicole Moss actually had a really good perspective on it, which is just, you know, Zeke he's got to run up the middle. And that rookie year for him, they had the best offensive line in the NFL. And part of that is the reason why I've always defended Dak, because Zeke got paid first, which I thought was insane. You knew what the Dak was the future. I don't see what happened in that time that you wouldn't have paid Dak first. But everybody was just in love with what Zeke was able to do, which is, I get it. But you want to lock up your quarterback first. And obviously they realized that was a mistake. And, you know, it's a contract they're eventually going to move on from if Zeke doesn't get things going. But that's a game I'm really interested in as well. And I'm taking the Eagles to cover in that game also. So hope you win lots of money this weekend if that's what you're into. Hope you enjoy the rest of your college football Saturday. Brian Kelly just got some Gatorade dumped on him. Is that what we're doing? Why are we doing that? Aren't they supposed to beat Wisconsin? Is that not the thing? I don't know. Okay, that's cool.
It's a top 20 win.
I guess they're just having some fun. Okay. I really love Jenny Taft's outfit, by the way. I'm girling out right now, but it's swaggy. Love Jenny. All right. Check me out on The Herd with Colin this week, noon to 3 weekdays on FS1. And of course, we'll be back here next Saturday with Iowa Sam and Bo in the Fox Sports Radio studios. Enjoy your NFL Sunday. Thanks for hanging out today. Thanks to Ryan Masillo, Ashley Nicole Moss, and Jen Welter for joining us. Enjoy your Saturday. Stick around on Fox Sports Radio.